The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
It is Brian Mazeroski here with you on WBEN, and thank you for joining me on this Wednesday. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Wanting to talk a little bit about an issue that's been getting a lot of attention, and rightfully so, recently. Mental health and teens, and this teen mental health decline. What are the causes of it? Now, a lot of us have pointed to social media, and I think there's, you know, there's something definitely to that. But you can't just put out two words and say, well, there we go. Solved. It's the only issue. Social media. By the way, we're not going to do anything about it. We're just going to say social media is the problem, and we're going to go out there. But what else is there that's contributing to what people are seeing in schools and just everywhere across the country? Well, there's an interesting other theory about this, and I want to bring on my guest from the Brain Performance Center, Lee Richardson, who's also a counselor and is talking about independence and the decline in mental health amongst teens throughout the country. Lee, thanks so much for being with us this morning. Independence and mental health. Where did this idea come from, and why do you think that the two are related?
Well, you know, I think the pandemic has really changed, and we all recognize it's elevated the mental health struggles that we're all facing. And I think that with the numbers are frightening. The number of teens that are depressed, that are anxious, that actually suicide rates have increased. So there's a good reason that we're talking about this. But, and I know you mentioned early on, a lot of people say, well, it must be screens, it must be social media. And I do think that that comes into play. But when you think back a couple years ago, and when you're a teenager, your sense of community is not your mother and father. It's the people you see at school. It's your friends. It's the people that you hang out with. And that was taken away. And what that was replaced with was social media.
So in a way, you know, when we say social media, people say social media. And, you know, we're hearing, all right, maybe independence. I think they play into each other a little bit. Do you think there's been kind of a school of parenting almost where, you know, parents are looking at whether it's social media, a phone, a video game, a TV screen, something like that, and they're saying, well, okay, they're, you know, engrossed in that, but I know they're not out on the street somewhere. And I feel like that line of thinking has become much more common in the last 10 to 15 years.
Well, I do agree with you, and that's because all of our psychological and physical safety was threatened as a result of the pandemic. And I do think that, you know, we do have a lot more concern. When I think about what I used to let my kids do, go out and do on the on the streets. Go out and play. Go walk to the grocery store. You know, would I let my kids do that today? I don't know.
Why is that? Is that perception trumping reality when more and more parents have that answer you just gave? You know, would I let my kids live the life that I lived? And you know, a lot of people can't really answer that. A lot of them just say, "Well, no, it's far more dangerous." A lot of numbers would disagree, right?
Well, right, but how do you, you know, when I think about what I learned, just making independent decisions. What I mean, going back to what I learned on the playground, I learned who I could trust to push me in that swing. I didn't want Billy to push me because he pushed me so high I might just be dumped out. And honestly, that was a true learning. So when you act independently, you learn who to trust. You learn, you reflect on, okay, what's really important to me? Well, it's important to me not get dumped out on the ground. And it's important to me to pay attention when you're going independently, you're going down to the grocery store. I used to walk to the grocery store all the time. You learn, you know, pay attention to the lights, read the warnings, watch the traffic. I mean, I learned how to use my observation powers. And those, I think, are pretty meaningful lessons in life. What do you think?
I think that there's a confusion when it comes to, you mentioned like playing on the playground. There's a confusion between play and independence and being around other kids and being, you know, as you're saying, independent. Parents will let their kids play all day, but that structured play, you know, an after school activity, all these things we're signing up our kids for, that's not the same, is it?
Well, I think, you know, I think it certainly has more structure and it has supervision, but I think that it depends upon how it's executed. And, you know, if I say, oh, yes, you can go play and I follow you around, or no matter where you turn, you see good old mom standing in the background with love in her heart, with nothing but goodness, that does influence. It doesn't make me feel like that I'm by myself. I'm acting independently. You know, and I think one of the most important forms of independence is emotional. You've got to learn how to, you know, appreciate some days I'm going to have a good day and some days I'm going to have a bad day. And when I have a bad day, I can get through it.
How do you think the phone plays into that? You mentioned like following your kid around, a classic helicopter parent, right? You're just describing. But the phone has changed the game. And I'm like warming up to this idea my kids right now. I'm a little ways away from thinking about this. They're 3 and like a month. So I don't quite have to think about this yet, but I am, because I'm really worried about what's going to happen in 10 years or so. And on the phones, you know, there's so many parents who use that as a way to do what you're saying without doing what you're saying, right? You know, I can be on top of what my kid is doing at all times, send them a message at all times, and not have to, quote unquote, hover around. I like the idea. I hate the idea of giving kids a phone, but I like the idea of, okay, you can have some access to a cell phone or have a phone in your pocket, but that means that I'm going to back off. Like, that means that, all right, you can go, like, we did, or like our parents did, and go and explore the world on your own, because I know that you have something on you that our parents didn't, where I can kind of keep tabs if I need to.
Well, you make a really good point. I mean, you can track location with someone's phone, and you can know where your child is at all times, but do you know who your child's with? And do you know what your child's doing? Kids are smart, particularly teenagers. They are really smart. And if they learn, all I got to do is reply yes, or all I have to do is reply to a text I get, then I'm good. That's another way to look at it. Because I believe all of us want independence. We all want to know that we can do it on our own. Because that builds our self-confidence. It builds our self-worth. And I think a parent's job really is, not to put you on the spot, but it starts right where your kids are in the very beginning. and being in touch with them and being present in their life. And, you know, the standard message with my two, I had twins, was, you know what, you know where you can always reach me. If you need me, all you have to do is let your teacher know. I'll always be there. And installing that confidence at an early age, I think, is where it really all starts.
What do you think about, you mentioned the tracking on your phone. That's popular with a lot of parents. I think that that is, I don't think that that is independence. And I think it is strange, too, that kids are so easy to, you know, if that's me at 15, 16 years old, and I had the decision, okay, you can have this cell phone, but, you know, mom or dad is going to be able to see where you are at all times. You know, we're going to track what you do and be able to see what you do on it. I would say, well, no thanks to the cell phone. But kids don't think like that anymore, which is like crazy to me. But is that true independence if, you know, you have a parent kind of monitoring, you know, it's almost like you're wearing the ankle bracelet?
Well, in my opinion, it's not. And I know every parent does what's best for their kid, and nobody knows your kid like you do as a parent. But for me, independence is teaching my kids to when they're problem solving, when they're making decisions, to stop and think about, okay, if I make that decision, you know, and not that a kid's going to think this, but does that reflect on my core value? Does that reflect on what's important to me? But they will stop and think, hopefully, well, if I make that decision, what are the consequences? And for me, that's independence.
Yeah, let me know when that begins. That would I'd like to know that.
19, 20.
Yeah. Let's bring the mental health part of this kind of back into the equation. Is the idea here when talking about independence as a factor in this, you know, mental health crisis, as it's been called with teens, is the idea that teens, young people, are not empowered to make their own decisions and maybe feel almost helpless once they're in a position to do that?
Well, I do think through the pandemic that all of our decision-making capabilities were threatened and were challenged and were changed. And I think that it's changed the world. It's changed the overall feeling of it's going to be a great day. You know, well, and kids pick up everything. You know, you may not talk to your kids about the war in Ukraine, but they pick it up and they feel the tension. I mean, the bank that just went under, I heard on the news, one of the biggest banks in the world. And I was like, oh my gosh, is that my bank? You know, all of that plays into kids. And unfortunately, if you don't have it, kids get really bored quickly. I know I did. And if I had a phone in my hand and I was bored, who knows where I would go.
Yeah, that is interesting to kind of think about. Do you think independence ever makes a comeback? You know, in the way that we were talking about that we might have seen, let's say, 25 years ago or longer before this digital age. Will it ever make a comeback like that, or have we just totally gone and driven off, left that in the dust, and we have to just find a new way of independence?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you asked that question, I immediately thought of the millennials that don't want to learn how to drive. Oh, my gosh. You know, I couldn't wait to learn how to drive. I couldn't wait because of independence. But I do think it will come back because I think that we all want to be able to take care of ourselves. And the trend has shifted. We all want to be able to take care of ourselves in a way that we've become accustomed to. And that means that when we have to act independently, I believe we will.
Well, I think it's an interesting topic, and I thank you for the time. Lee, thanks so much. Enjoy your busy going around talking about this issue. Lee Richardson is with the Brain Performance Center, founder there, also a counselor, talking about, well, independence. And what do you have to say? 803-0930, if you want to weigh in this morning, 803-0930. her work is interesting to me because it's going a step beyond, you know, in everyone wants to talk about or acknowledges that there is this mental health issue with teens, right? And then what's the next step? Well, what are some of the reasons behind it? How do we solve this problem? And, you know, it's easy to just say social media. Okay, well, I agree, but you know, what about social media? And then how do you deal with it? You know, what aspects of social media? And is it really all, like, it can't just be all attributed to this one thing, even though I think most of it is. I do believe most of it is the screens. And for me, why I believe most of it is the screens, it's the same reason why you start after, it only takes like a month or two. You go back, the author there was talking about the pandemic. You go back and look at the mask mandates. And when you were looking at all those graphs and you said, well, okay, well, here's the COVID rate in a community that has a mask mandate. And here's the COVID rate in a community that does not have a mask mandate. And they're the same, right? Like the same thing happens. And like all you need to do is look at one chart to tell you, okay, well, here's what's going on here. I feel the same way when you look at these mental health rates. When you look at those charts of self-reported mental health issues, and they were on the rise a little bit, but then in 2013, 2012, they start to like skyrocket. And what happened there? The App Store. What happened then? Everyone started to have an iPhone in their pocket. Like it's not that hard to look at the data and then reach a pretty solid conclusion. Well, then it's what do you do about it? And I think this is one of those next step ideas that starts to answer the question, well, what do you do about it? Because you're not just going to overnight eliminate social media and eliminate screens. And while you can support some of what the government talks about, right? Well, should we raise the age of social media or what do they call it? Internet adulthood? Is that what it's officially, you know, it was like 13. And now it's like you have to be 18 to sign up for some of these social media platforms. You know, should we raise it, you know, across the board, 18, that's the law. Should we raise it even higher to 25 or something like that before you can sign up to be on a social media platform? You know, what should we do? I mean, it's a good idea, but in practice, does it work the same? You know, in practice, what happens? You probably have a lot of kids lying about their age and signing up anyways. The screens are not going away. You know, we can all sit here and we'll all nod and say, yeah, I mean, it's an issue. It's definitely decreasing happiness. It's changed my life, and I don't know if it's for the better. And you say, well, okay, well, what about getting rid of it? Like, well, yeah, I can't do that. So it's not going away. So what are the next steps? Well, maybe it needs to go alongside independence, which is what Lee was just talking about. It's, I think, an interesting idea. Analyzing changes in parenting advice over time. And it's in this new study that shows earlier eras, you don't need a study to know this, right? Earlier eras of parenting more often portray children as independent, being able to go out and play alone in early childhood, and then having more adult responsibilities as early as 11 or 12. Well, what is that age today? And that's what I'll open it up to you guys for, 803-0930. I mean, what is that age where you start to see kids as independent? Have you seen that Netflix show? It's like from Japan or something like that. And it shows like 5-year-olds and they're like, all right, here's $2. Go to the grocery store and, you know, figure out how to come home with 3 rolls of paper towels. And it, you know, follows them along. You laugh and like they misstep along the way, but, you know, they get it done, right? And like nothing bad happens. But now I think parents look at that and say, well, if I did that, the store clerk would just call the cops on me. like that's the fear, because that's the attitude that we live in now. I think there is a little something to that, independence. If with the phone comes a level of independence that brings you back to where we used to be, maybe the phone isn't that big of an issue anymore. It's just a thought. What do you think on this? 803-0930, give me a call, send a text message in. Brian Mazurowski here on WBEN.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Brian Mazurowski here with you on WBEN. If you missed the last segment, we were talking a little bit about kid independence. Lee Richardson, the founder of the Brain Performance Center, talking about some new work that's linking not just, you know, your phone, your device, social media to teen mental health, but also perhaps a lack of independence. New work is saying that one of the causes for a rise in mental disorders is the decline over decades in opportunities for children and teens to play, roam, engage in other activities independent of direct oversight and control by adults. So, I mean, what does that look like in your household? And I mean, what is the age? And now, obviously, it differs by kids, but generally speaking, I mean, what is the age you start to give a little bit of responsibility to your kid? Do you start to allow that independence? And what does independence look like now as opposed to 20 years ago? 803-0930 to join me here on WBEN. You know, they're looking at surveys that say the amount of people who answer questions like, can children walk home from school alone? You know, declined greatly between 1990 and 2010. Like, we're holding on a little tighter to our kids. And I mean, could that result in some of the issues that we're seeing? And I can see it because if you think about it, like, if you are constantly telling your kids throughout life over and over again that, like, oh no, like, you can't do this yourself, right? It's like the argument against, well, we were talking about it with a guest a couple of weeks ago over at UB, right? They had the speaker there, and I was like dumbfounded that you had professors leading these petitions to get the speech canceled. And students were saying, well, they're just trying to keep us safe. And you're creating this culture of adults telling kids, like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, You can't handle this. You can't handle walking home by yourself. You can't handle hearing this person talk, or else it's going to hurt you to do that. And in one way or another, like, we keep saying this to kids. And I think, you know, sometimes it's egregious, which I think is like the college professor example. Other times I feel like people don't even realize they're doing it. And I think that's most parents. And I'll probably put myself into this group because I'll fall into some of these same traps I know over the years. Where you want to be protective, but you're not really thinking about this at the next level. That if you keep on telling somebody you can't do this by yourself, what sort of impact is that going to have on them going forward? I think it's got to be a pretty big one. Even if it's as simple as walking home from school or going by yourself, or not just, right, the by yourself thing has changed too, because it used to be physically by yourself. But now by yourself means, I think, by yourself without me tracking you on a smartphone. You know, there are kids in college right now who are over 18 years old who still have parents tracking their location, where they are at all times on their phones. That is a direct message to teenagers saying, you're not capable to do this on your own. You're not well enough to do this. You need somebody's help. And yeah, so I can buy that argument that plays into some of the mental health. Because then when you are faced with things that you have to do on your own, of course you're going to get overwhelmed. You've been told all your life, you can't do this, you can't do that without somebody holding your hand. Then when you move out on your own, you have bills to pay, you're doing all these things. What do you expect? It's going to seem overwhelming. Kids are going to feel overwhelmed. And, well, there you have some of your mental health problem. It's not that hard. You know, like I said with the graphs, it's not that hard to look at it and put the pieces together. So what is it? 803-0930 to join me, 803-0930 here on WBEN. On the text board, a lot of people are chiming in with a little bit of this. Someone saying, as a teacher, parents are the issue. You know, too much entitlement, no rules or respect at home. Let's think about this in terms of independence and the message to kids. You know, what message are we sending to kids? When can we tell them that, hey, you can have some independence? Someone saying no phone until 15 years old. I mean, that's one of the ways. If you teach your kid a phone is not a way to socialize, but instead frame the phone as a way of me keeping tabs on you, like, I don't know, maybe the answer on when they want a phone changes. Maybe it doesn't. But that could potentially have a little bit of an impact. What are some of those responsibilities? I think about, here's an easy one. As we're talking about phones, what's the age you would expect your kid to pay their own phone bill? And there's two ways this works. What's the age you expect your kid to pay their own phone bill, meaning shell out the cost themselves, earn the money however they earn the money, and, you know, shell out that money every month to pay to have their cell phone? I mean, what's the age you would expect that? And then what is the age you expect kids to pay their phone bill by themselves? And I mean that in the most literal way possible. How many adults do you know that are still, you'll still hear them say that they're on their parents' phone plan? Like, it doesn't seem like much, But it's just like one of these little things that, you know, yeah, mom and dad still pay. I got to Venmo them for, you know, I send them my allowance money to keep my phone on every single month. And they're like 30 years old. Like, at what age do you look at your kid and say, like, listen, I know this might save you $5 a month, but you're freaking 25. Like, open up an account. Go to the store yourself. You be the one who has to spend 2 hours in there arguing. And, like, let's go. Get the bill delivered to your address. And figure it out. I mean, it's like it doesn't seem like much, right? Because I can see parents. I mean, there's no ill intent. You don't even think you're coddling at all. You're just like, well, it's just easy. We've always done it. They pay me. You know, they have the responsibility to pay me. But, you know, yeah, the phone bill, it's all under my name. What? Well, why not have the whole account? You know, what age can we expect kids to do that? I'm asking the question. I don't know, like, legally what age you can open up, you know, your own AT&T service or whatever. But, like, at 18, you know, shouldn't you be able to, boom, you're there. Like, I remember I was ready. I wanted to get on my own. Like, it was a sign of independence. That you wanted to move away from that. Like, is that there anymore? What age would you trust your kids to do that? 8030930, we'll go to the phone. So, Brenda. Brenda, you're on WBEN.
Hi, good morning.
How's it going? When do you start trusting your kids?
Oh, okay. My kid is 50 years old, over 50. But
I mean, does he pay his own phone bill at 50?
Oh, yes. I think.
Okay, good.
I think independence really should start, and I'm going to probably toss a few heads here. Okay, the minute they mother and father a child, that's a part of independence, because then they got an extra responsibility on them that should be given to them the time they do that. Whether the parent, you know, it lives with the mother or lives with the father, and the father is even so. Someone should take, they should start thinking about that. And the other thing is when they start bringing money in, it should be when they start earning a living that could possibly support them and they're still at home, they should be contributing to the bills. Now, as a young child, I'm a tell you like it is. I'm a 50s from the 50s. The minute we had like summer jobs and different things like that, there was a part that we had to contribute to the family, and we were in our teens. So it wasn't that much, but it was just something to add to. They were showing us the responsibility of almost like living on your own and paying rent. You're kind of like almost like squawked at it, but you learned how to live off of what it was that you had.
Yeah, hey Brenda, I think people shouldn't squawk at that, right? But I hear what you're saying a little bit, and to me, it's like the step backwards, right? Like it makes sense. Okay, once you start earning money, then like, you would be expected to use some of that money and contribute to the household that you're living in, right? I think that there's a lot of kids out there who know that that's the case and use that as their motivation to not start earning money, like to not get that foot into adulthood and get a job, right? Like,
okay.
if instead you flip it around and say, hey, at age blank, you're going to have to start contributing. I don't care if you work at McDonald's or you sell all your sheets on eBay. Like, figure out a way because the bill's going to be this a month.
Okay, now the one thing that my daughter did was this. Now, she did it a different way. What she does is my granddaughter contributed to the house. However, it went into an account for her so that she can – she never said it, but it was money that was put to the side, because even some parents, even back during the time I was coming up, actually did that too. It was put to the side and given to them once they moved out or decided to move out or either go to college.
Brenda, thank you for the call. This is what makes it tough because everyone's going to have a different philosophy. Every kid is going to be different. You know, I say, you know, what's the age? I'm asking that in a general sense. It's going to be a different age for every kid. Some, you know, 8-year-olds are more mature than some 30-year-olds. I mean, that's how it works. That's how it's always going to work. But, like, if we can all kind of, like, start thinking about things just a little bit differently, like, somehow we all generally shifted from kids can be very independent and kids can have adult responsibilities at an early age, even before the teenage years. And somehow, like, all of us as a society shifted from that to, like, this thinking that, you know, well, we can't, you know, you can't do this on your own. So if we all made that shift, like, somehow we can all kind of generally make that shift backwards. And it's not going to look the same for everybody, but, like, starting from that point, I'd like to know if we can get back to that time. Part of the reason I don't know if we can across the board is because people still have this attitude on our text board. 8030930, by the way, if you want to weigh in, text or call. Someone's saying the world is so different. Wouldn't it be nice if our kids could go out and play just like we did? Sorry, you got to watch them. But I, you know, again, I would just say the world isn't that much different. The world actually is different. It's much safer. And as much as we have this idea because, and, you know, here's where I'll be on a news network complaining about a 24-hour news cycle. But, like, as much as I think that really did change people's perceptions, you know, seeing news all the time and scary headlines all the time, and we perceive the world as more dangerous, but in actuality, you know, it's never been safer. I mean, child abductions it's so rare, and it's more rare than it was now than it was in, you know, the 80s and early 90s, you know, that time that you're talking about. It's kind of in our head that we perceive this world as being more dangerous. It's, you know, I don't really think it is. I think it's in our minds, and it's really tough to get over that line of thinking that it is. But even if you perceive it as that, you know, much more dangerous, I don't think you have to let your kids roam free to start to think about independence differently. You know, roaming free, I'm thinking about when I was a kid, you know, on weekends I would ride my bike out in Cheektowaga. And I would, you know, could ride my bike down to the sports card shop. I loved collecting hockey cards when I was a kid. Still have some really good ones. My favorite, in case you were wondering, is my Don Cherry card that has a piece of one of his suit jackets in the card. Always the coolest one. I made a bad trade to get that card, but it's a sentimental favorite. Got some other cool ones, too. Anyways, that's beside the point. But I would ride my bike and go from my dad's house all the way down. Oh my goodness, what's the street? Walden Avenue. What's exit 52? Anyways, I'd ride all the way down the street. You go past the library there in Cheektowaga, and I'd have to ride my bike. You know, I don't know how old I was. 10. And to look at the hockey guy, they're probably 10, 9, 10, 11 years old. I'd ride across the on and off ramps to the 90, whatever that is, exit 52. And I'd have to ride past that on the bike and go all the way down and go and just hang out and browse around the hockey card store. And then maybe I can use some money that, I don't know how I got money, but it was in my pocket, all the quarters, and buy a pack of hockey cards. And I would do that all the time. And I just think now that is, like, so, you know, parents would gasp, like, oh my goodness. Your kid is just out for hours riding his bike across the thruway on ramps. Oh, What would happen if this happened? Like, what would happen? Well, someone would figure it out. Like, what's going to happen? And then, I'd ride back and then everything would be fine. Maybe I'd stop at the library. Check out a couple books. Bring them back. I think that level of independence for a lot of people, a lot of parents look at that and just say, oh no. Like, we can't do it. We can't do it. I remember taking a math class where they walked you through the process. Now, I'm not saying I did well in the math class or remembered much of it, but they walked us through the process of buying a car. You looked in, you took out the classifieds in the paper. You found a car that you might like. The teacher said, all right, this is how much money you have. This is how much money you earn. And this was in like fifth grade. Here's the car you want. Okay. You have to learn how to, here's how you write a check. This is what your payment would be, with an interest rate. Like, you figure this out. Like, they walked you through the whole process. How old are people and they're bringing their mom or dad to buy the car with them now? Holly in Amherst, you're on WBEN. All right, Holly, what do you think about the level of independence for kids?
So I'm finding this whole conversation so fascinating. My kids are now 19 and 21, and my husband and I have always wanted them to have independence at an early age. And they grew up in what I think was an idyllic neighborhood that we moved to from the city for schools. And they had a good group of friends who they always were outside playing, and we felt pretty safe where we were. And their school was in walking distance. My daughter was a freshman in high school and was walking home, and this is in Snyder, New York, and which I think is very safe. And I was at work, and she called me because someone tried to abduct her. A guy was in a black SUV, like a BMW, a nice one. Not that that matters. I shouldn't even have said that. I'm sorry. But he pulled up next to her and asked her, what her name was. I don't remember what she said. But then he asked her if she had a boyfriend. He was like in his 40s. And she said no. And he asked her, do you want one? And she just kept on walking. He drove away. It was right near, there's a library at the corner.
Okay.
He pulled into the library. She kept walking. He pulled back around, asked her more questions, and she started getting really nervous. So she put her head down and started walking. And then he pulled up again around her, opened the door, and tried to pull her into the car. And she immediately called me and started running, thankfully, got away. And stupidly, I kept her on the phone and said, go to so-and-so's house, keep me on the phone. The police afterward said that what I should have done was told her to call 911 because we live near a school, like an elementary school, so they could have come immediately. But, fortunately, she was safe. The guy was never found, whatever. But as a consequence of that, I have two daughters. She's the older. She's now 21. And then I have a 19-year-old. And like you've said earlier, the woman that was on said, they pick up on things. Like, we don't talk about the dangers of society every single day, but they're aware of them. They're not stupid. And because of her situation, she is uber overly cautious about everything.
Well, I can only imagine that you would be, especially with that experience. And Holly, I hate to do this, but we're out of time, and I have to wrap up. But thank you for sharing that story. And your own life experience is it's going to obviously change the way that you look at things. Like something like that happens, of course you're going to be more cautious about your kids out there. I mean, it's only natural. Generally speaking, though, you know, population-wide, I think that there's, you know, some work that we can do to bring us back a little bit. We went in one direction a lot. Now, like, we can pull back a little bit more to independence. I've got to run. I'm over my time. You got David coming up next after the news. Joe is in for Tom after that. You've been listening to Brian Mazurowski on WBEN.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.